Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 4, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." So this is wisdom that the Spirit of God gives, and it's concerning things pertaining to the future, things you would not know of on your own. These aren't things you get just by going to college. These are things that come by the Spirit of God. They don't come by studying. This isn't that kind of wisdom. This is wisdom that the Spirit of God gives and causes us to see and know things concerning the future that we would never know on our own. It goes beyond natural knowledge. And then it says to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now that's words from the Spirit of God concerning things that have been or are currently present now. So words of knowledge. Again, this isn't just natural knowledge. This isn't just a knowledge you get from going to school and studying and things. This is from the Spirit of God. You can see it in its context. It has to do with the workings of the Holy Spirit and His activity. In fact, it's referred to as, in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. And it's given to each one to profit all. And it's given as the Spirit directs. And then he goes on, he says in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. So this is special faith. And I don't have time to get into the teaching of all this. We've taught on it in the past. But there's a faith. There's your faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. And you can grow and develop your faith. But then there's a faith that comes from the Spirit of God. And it's sudden. It didn't come by your feeding on God's Word and growing up spiritually in the truth of God's Word. It's something that He places on you. I've seen this in operation where people suddenly have a faith to believe something that they in themselves would never have believed apart from the Spirit of God. And he says to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. It's plural because it's not just referring to one type of healing. There are different infirmities, different sicknesses, and there are different, therefore, healings that the Spirit of God will anoint people with to minister to others. Verse 10, to another, working of miracles. So again, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, these other manifestations are all right here connected to the working of miracles. I don't have to tell you, you can't go to college and get that one. Right? Miracles. This comes totally supernaturally by the Spirit of God, just like all these nine manifestations. He says, to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, this is the New Testament. This is something we see all throughout the book of Acts. Of course, we see the prophets operating these things in the Old Testament, but we see it all through the New Testament. This is still to be a part of the New Testament church today. The Spirit of God wants to move and manifest in our lives. And when we come for service, if there's any place where the Spirit of God should be manifesting, it's in service. It's in church. It's in His house. Right? I mean, we want Him to manifest in the kitchen. We want Him to manifest at the restaurant. We want Him to manifest wherever we are in life. God wants to be able to move through us. He said, believers, in Mark 16, and this is a part of His Great Commission, believers will lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover. Why? Because they have great hands? No, because the Spirit of God will flow through our hands to administer healing. He said this is for all believers. So again, this is something that believers need to be walking in, and we're to be seeing the power of God manifesting through our life. That's the difference between Christianity, it's supposed to be, the difference between Christianity and just all the other religions in the world. Buddha is dead. Mohammed is dead. Their spirits do not manifest in the earth. Their spirits can't do anything for anybody. But Jesus has risen from the dead, and his spirit is alive and moving in the earth, primarily through his church, through the body of Christ. He has commissioned and sent us to operate in these things and to do these things, so that people know that our gospel is not just letters, it's not just human wisdom, but it is the wisdom and power of God. Right? That is what Christianity is to be all about. And it's so sad that so many Christians have been raised not to understand, raised up in churches not to understand the power of God, when it is to be a normal part of Christianity. In fact, he tells us over in Timothy, why don't we turn there? And he singles out the last days, which of course is the day and hour you and I are living in right now. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For perilous times, my margin says, times of stress. It's another way it could be said. Times of stress will come. Why? Because men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And people, these people do not sound very good. And yet it sounds a lot like the day and hour we're living in. Huh? I mean, this is the entertainment for a lot of people. I mean, this is normal. This is normal for people. And then he goes and makes this statement, which is so bizarre, because he just names all these terrible things, and then he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, and from such people, turn away. Notice this. These people are haughty. They're lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, all these terrible things, and then it says, and they have a form of godliness. How many people know there's nothing we just mentioned there that is godly? There's nothing godly about any of these things. And yet these folks have a form of godliness about them. They have a certain amount of religious piety about them. They have a form of godliness and they deny the power of God. So that is the difference between religious Christianity and true Christianity. True Christianity is lived by the Spirit of God. You and I are to be living our lives by the Holy Spirit, looking for His manifestations in our life. And it needs to become normal to us. It shouldn't be some kind of bizarre thing to us that the God of the Bible actually shows up and does the things that we're reading in the Bible. Right? It should not be a bizarre thing. It should be normal, normal. We want to see God manifesting in our life. As Christians now, we're not to be living life in our own strength. Everything we do, we are to be doing by the ability, the strength, and the power of God. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 again, he says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and throughout all the world. Our gospel is a gospel of power. We need to be looking for the manifestations of God. When we're talking about the very grace of God, we are talking about the very ability, strength, and power of God in our lives. As Christians, we don't live life in our own strength, by our own natural ability. Everything now is done by the Spirit of God. That's leaning on the grace of God. Leaning on the grace of God. And so let's go back here to Ephesians chapter 2. But we've been talking about the judgment of God, the fear of God, and these are things we need to get a hold of. I tell you, this is what will make a strong believer out of you. How many want to be strong believers? Strong. Strong to be able to stand up against Satan. To be able to stand up against temptation. See, the things that we've been preaching here, the Lord's been given from His Word, these things will put conviction in you. They'll put the fear of God in you, which will keep you from yielding to the flesh, yielding to carnality, and just living your life haphazardly. God doesn't want us living our life haphazardly. There's a purpose and a plan for our life. There's a mission for you and I to accomplish. And so this word will put conviction in us so that we realize, hey, man, I got to get with it. You know, how my life goes, it all doesn't just fall back on God. I have a part to play in this. I have a part to play in this, and my part in this is to believe God. To get to know Him according to the truth, get to know Him, His power, the moving of His Spirit, get to know Him and believe and trust in Him so that I don't find myself trusting in myself. We got to trust in Him. If we're going to see Him move and operate in our life, then we got to trust in Him. We can't trust in ourselves. That's how you and I are saved to begin with. It's by having faith in His grace. And that's what he says over here in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So notice, it's not of our works, not by our ability. We are saved by the grace of God, and yet that grace is accessed, he tells us here, through faith. And so the grace that he's talking about here primarily is saving grace. And just like we saw over in 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of activities and operations of the Holy Spirit. There are all kinds of different ministries. Same Spirit, same Lord, but different workings of God in different people's lives. Well, there are different graces that each and every one of us have in life. There is, of course, we all have saving grace. Saving grace. But then after saving grace, there is standing grace. The ability to stand up after you've been saved. Now, we got to stay saved. We got to stay saved. In fact, let's just go over here to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Are you ready for revelation? Are you getting it? All right. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 10, but as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold grace of God. Now, that word manifold means diverse. The diverse grace of God. And that, of course, means varied or various. There are various different graces. There are many different kinds of graces. There isn't just one grace. The CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible, reads it this way. 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one has received some spiritual gift, he should use it to serve others like good managers of God's many-sided grace. So there are a lot of different sides to God's grace. So, of course, like I said, there's saving grace. And even before that, there's a grace that is upon people's lives because God loves everybody. Isn't that right? He loves everybody. And over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he says that he causes his rain, his goodness, to come down on the just and on the unjust. So God's raining on everybody, isn't he? I mean, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from him. And there's a lot of good things going on in a lot of people's lives, in everybody's life. Everybody that's alive on this earth, no matter how bad it might be, there's some good things going on. And those good things come from God. So God is moving. His grace is being poured out even on the unjust. And there is a general grace that is all over this world. This world has God's grace all over it. But then there's even a greater grace that we come into when we come in contact with the Son of God. When we come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and we believe that He is the Savior of the world, then we receive that saving grace from God. And that grace causes you to become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You completely are born again. You're born all over again. You are taken out of darkness and you are put in the kingdom of God. You come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You are now a part of the family of God. You go from being a sinner to being a saint. You go from being a sinner to being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And old things are passed away and all things have become new. Woo, hallelujah. That's some powerful grace right there. And then, just like this scripture verse is talking about, there's serving grace. Just as the complete Jewish Bible states it. As each one has received some spiritual gift, he should use it to serve others. Serve others. Like good managers of God's many-sided grace. There we see serving and grace put together. So there is a serving grace. Man, I'm not going to get up here and do what I do in my own strength. Because you wouldn't want to be here. It'd be pretty weak and pitiful. But His grace, come on, His grace causes us to get utterance, causes us to get revelation, and He causes things to come together and work in such a way that it transforms lives. It changes lives. And so whether it's from the pulpit or whatever God has assigned you to do in life to serve Him, you need to do it by the grace that He supplies. You need to do it the grace that He supplies. In fact, He goes on here in verse 11, New King James, he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or as the New International Version says, speaks the very words of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So notice there, he talks about serving, ministering, and doing it with the ability that God supplies so that God's glorified. God gets all the glory when God does the work through us. So we want to yield to His serving grace, and we want to grow in this grace. This grace can be increased in our life. And then, like I said, there is standing grace, which we can see that in Romans chapter 2. It's by God's grace that we came into this new life, and it's by God's grace that we're going to live it. Right? It's grace that saved us, and it's grace that's going to keep us. Keep us in this salvation. Keep us standing firm in what we have learned, what we have believed. But again, it's all accessed through faith. Nothing is automatic in the kingdom of God. Nothing's automatic in life. What you believe has a lot to do with it. What you put in is what you're going to get out of it. So we have to learn these things, get in faith about these things, so that we yield ourselves to these things, so that now these graces can flow mightily in and through our life. And a lot of folks, again, like we've been talking about in this series, a lot of Christians, they just believe, well, once you're saved, you're saved, you're locked in, it's done, and, you know, there's no getting out of it. I mean, it's a done deal. You can live haughty, you can live perverted, you can live however in whatever twisted way you want to live. And man, you're locked in. This is just so far from the truth of God's word. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard the whole thing, or even if you have heard this whole series, you need to go back. It's online. Listen to it. Listen to last week. We talked about continuing to believe. We are saved by grace through our believing, through our faith, through our believing. And scripture after scripture, all through the New Testament, is telling us to continue to believe. You got to continue in this faith so that you continue in this grace, so that you continue to be saved. This encouragement is all through the scriptures. And that's what I mean about this teaching putting conviction in us, causing us to be on alert, to walk and live soberly, like the Bible tells us to be. Not just all intoxicated with ourselves or intoxicated, full of the cares of life. But man, we got to be alert. We got an adversary who's trying to steal the word from us, trying to steal this grace from us, trying to get us over into doubt and unbelief, where we're doubting the very thing that we once believed so strongly. So man, it helps us to stay alert, to press into God, to not be slack and just kind of going through life saying, well, whatever happens, happens. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. How many of you know God doesn't want anybody to go to hell? Huh? The Bible says, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Is everybody coming to repentance? Has everybody in generations gone by come to repentance? Is it God's will that they all come to repentance? That's what the Bible says. It's his will that they all repent, that none perish. And yet Jesus said, the way to destruction is wide and heavily traveled. And he said, there's more traveling that road that leads to death, hell, and destruction than there are those traveling the road that leads to life. So we can't have this flippant, careless attitude about our salvation. Understanding this causes us to fear God and recognize we need to shake ourselves and make sure that we're fighting the good fight of faith and we're laying hold on eternal life. Every day we're reaching to lay hold on more of that grace that gives us eternal life. And I want to enjoy more and more of his eternal life. How about you? So we're growing. How many people are growing in the grace? We're not just sitting by and whatever happens, happens. No, things are going to happen because we purpose for them to happen. We purpose for them to happen. God needs us to rise up in faith and purpose for these things to happen. And so here in Romans 5, let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? It's through our faith. We've been justified, right? Faith. Verse 2, or we could say through our believing God, believing his word, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Don't you love that? Notice that. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, not just the grace that saved us, but watch this, but the grace by which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we are, and that's what this word hope means, confidently expecting. We are confidently expecting God's glory, His manifested awesomeness in our life, because that's what the grace of God brings to us. And it's by faith that we access it. It's by faith that we stand. We're standing in this salvation. We're standing in the truth of God's word. And how are we doing it? By grace. By grace. In other words, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't be good enough. You can never get to the place. See, this is the thing we have to understand. You can never get to the place where you went to church enough, as great as church is, and you've heard the word of God. You've been taught the word of God. You can never get to the place where now you can say, I've arrived. I've reached that place now where I stand. I know so many things. I understand so many truths about God that there's no way I could fall. No. The Bible says, take heed, you who think you stand, lest you fall. You can never get to the place where you're good enough to keep yourself. You can never get good enough. You can never get strong enough spiritually where you keep yourself. Every day and every moment of your day, you need to be drawing off of the grace of God. Right? You got to continue to abide in Him. Just like a branch. Doesn't matter how big the tree is getting, and it shoots out these great big branches, you know? And the branch is loaded with leaves and fruit. And this branch just gets out there and thinks, look what a big branch I am. I'm the biggest branch on the tree. I mean, I've arrived. I'm there. I don't have to worry about nothing. And then one strike of lightning. Right? One strike of lightning. Or here comes a car. Hits that branch. And it falls off. And people know, the branch, the moment it got cut off from the vine, is as good as dead. Huh? All of it's going to wither. You might as well pick the fruit as fast as you can, because that stuff's all, everything's going to rot. That tree, that branch, is dead. So we have to understand that. It's as long as I'm abiding in the vine that I live. That I live. That I have spiritual life as well as physical life. It's because I'm connected to Him. And if I get disconnected from Him by trusting in me, trusting in myself, it's wither time. You're as good as dead spiritually, even though you still have a form of godliness. Even though you still have some leaves left over. Right? Just like a rose. You know, people, they go out and they get these roses and they, you know, they bring them and they give them as gifts to people. And they're dead. You understand that? The rose, they don't look dead. They look nice. They smell nice. Oh, what beautiful rose. Nobody says, oh, what a beautiful dead rose. Nobody says that. You're not thinking that it's dead. Right? Put it in some water and it preserves it. But it's dead. Right? It's dead. As soon as it got cut, it died. But yet it still retains some of the beauty and splendor that it had while it was alive. We have to understand it's the same thing about ourselves. We have to abide in Him. We got to stand in this grace, knowing I need, it doesn't matter how much I've learned over the years and how much I know and how much experience I have as a Christian, I still need Jesus. I still need to do the basics. I can't leave the basics and say, well, I'm better than that now. I'm above that now. I've read the Bible. I've read the Bible through several times. Now it's time to read other things, more theological, intellectual things. No. You need to stay with the basics, friend. Stay with the basics. You still feed your spirit on God's word. You still need to spend time in prayer. There's a deception there that a lot of times people get to a certain place spiritually in their walk with God that they begin to think, well, you know, I don't have to spend time with God as much as I used to have to because I'm so much stronger now. Yeah. Any strength you have, it's because it's Him that you're partaking of. It's Him you're receiving from. And so you begin to drift away from him and begin to trust in yourself, you'll immediately begin to wither. And the deception is to think that we're okay just because outwardly, a lot of times, we don't see the changes. We don't see the changes right away. We still smell nice. We still retain some of the fragrance of Christ. We still retain the knowledge of the Word of God. We still retain that godliness, some of that church culture. You know, there's a whole church culture that we've received from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Right? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And see, we can retain all those things, but they just become a form of godliness. And we can go out and teach other people it. Teach other people the form that we've learned. We could teach that form to others. But there'd be no life. There'd be no life. And that's a big part of what the Bible says would be happening in the last days. So we have to be on guard. We have to protect ourselves. And we got to make sure that we're not satisfied with just having the form of Christianity, the form of God's Word. We want to make sure we're drawing off of His life. We're in fellowship with Him. And His strength, His power is in manifestation in our life. And there are signs and symptoms of that throughout our days. Symptoms that, yeah, God is here. God is here. God is working in me. God is working through me. And we're drawing on that grace of God. So we need Him to continue to stand in the grace of God. Let's say this together. I'm going to stand in the grace of God, by the grace of God. I will not take the grace of God lightly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is His grace amazing? Are you glad to be saved? Well, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for salvation that comes through His grace.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.